You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Second hour, here we go. We're going to make a momentary departure. It seems as though, I guess, and this is true of every political program, whether it be on radio or television, it seems like just about every show we've done, if not the entire show, at least the majority of it, has been dedicated to coverage of Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, the presidential race, going back to the primaries, and even really before that, going back to late 2015, or at least the summer of 2015 on. It's been pretty much all presidential all the time. Of course, we've worked in some other stories. Some shows have been entirely dedicated to the media's treatment of us with regards to the presidential race. So not a lot going on other than that. I mean, that's certainly the biggest game in town, although we have tried to work in some other articles of interest to our people when time permits and when the occasion presents itself. I think it is important to do that right now. One of really the most important holidays on the calendar is coming up on Monday. And if I had to rank holidays in order of their importance, you would go with Christmas and Easter, maybe Easter and Christmas. One celebrates the birth of Jesus Christ, the Immaculate Conception and birth of Jesus Christ. The other celebrates his death, resurrection, and atonement for our sins. So Christmas and Easter are right there, number 1A and 1B, in whichever order you'd like. And then I think probably the most important American holiday outside of those two is Columbus Day. And Keith, I know you would agree, and we have an article that we run every year at thepoliticalcesspool.org that celebrates Columbus Day and talks about how Columbus and his holiday have come under increasing assault in recent years.
Well, it was under such assault that it caused us to question why is the left so animated in its opposition to the celebration of Columbus Day. And the obvious reason is that Columbus Day celebrates the advent of the white race in the New World of the Americas. He was the first European to come to the New World and then make the civilization of the European nations stick in this new world, in this new two continents, North America and South America. And, of course, that's the last thing in the world that the left wants celebrated because, as we pointed out, the left is basically defined by its anti-whiteness. It is against the white race. It's against the prosperity of the white race. It is against the flourishing and the flowering of white civilization. They hate all things white. And Columbus represents, and Columbus Day represents, a development that they find to be disastrous. What would have happened if Columbus had not discovered America, or if some other European didn't? Basically, this continent would be a big wildlife preserve. They would not have developed all the resources and turned the two continents into the, particularly the North American continent, into a garden spot, which is what they did, basically because the northern part was settled by the English, the southern part by the Spanish, the South America and whatnot. And even though South America is, ahead of sub-Saharan Africa, it's not as prosperous or as developed or as first world as North America. And again, that has to do with Columbus and his ancestors. He came over, he was an Italian, but he was financed by the Spanish crown coming over here. Now, basically, if whites had not come to the New World would be a big wildlife preserve. There would be probably maybe at the most about a couple of million people here.
Well, and let me just interject this. People probably aren't familiar with this, but did you know that in some of the most remote spots of the Amazon, indigenous populations still exist uncontacted? There are still uncontacted American Indians in South America that are living in the way they would have been living 500 years ago. And in some cases, worse than what the Aztecs even had in terms of, well, certainly worse than what the Aztecs had. At least they had.
The Aztecs were the most advanced indigenous civilization.
They were savages, but they did have.
The Incas.
They did have some form of society. These people are still hunter gatherers living in tents. And look, God bless them. We're not making fun of them, but I'm just saying, you say that America, if had it not been for the conquest of Europeans, and what Christianity has brought to this country and everything else that our people bring with them, that it would be a vast undeveloped wildlife preserve. Well, certainly we can point to these tribes that have had limited, if no contact at all, in the Amazon to say that, yes, they have not progressed beyond where they were hundreds of years ago, still to this day, in the current year, as we like to say.
See, that is what is forgotten. And also, we are the acolytes of Christianity. We're the ones that kept the flame burning. If it had not been for our ancestors, Charles Martel at the Battle of Tours, King John Sobieski of Poland at Vienna, and Prince Don Juan of Austria at the Naval Battle of Lepanto, we would have been overrun by Muslim armies, and Europe would not have been what has been called for most of the two millenniums since the death of Christ, which is Christendom. Basically, if there's a non-white person in the world that has the Christian faith, they got it, or their ancestors got it, from a white Christian missionary. So I think that basically this is all God's will that we do that, but we brought the advantages of Christianity to not just America, but the whole world. Now, basically, non-whites have a parasite host relationship with whites. Don't kill the dog or all the fleas will die. If you want to know what happens to non-white populations when white people disappear for whatever reason, they're either killed off or driven off, take a look at one Haiti, where you had a murderous revolution led by Toussaint Louverture in 1802, and they drove out or killed all the white people. And since then, Haiti has been synonymous with ignorance, voodooism, poverty, violence, and they did this in a land. Saint Dominique was what they called Haiti before the Toussaint Louverture revolution, and it was the most prosperous of all the colonies in the New World. It was called the Jewel of the Caribbean. Now, they have basically had a scorched earth over there. They don't have plants. That's why it's so disastrous whenever a hurricane comes through, because there are no plants to hold the soil down, and it causes mudslides, which are deadly. That's what happened to Haiti. The other thing is, look at places like Detroit and Camden, New Jersey, and what has happened to them. When white people leave an area, prosperity usually isn't too far behind. And there's not a way to make up for that. This is why the globalists, and Hillary and Cain are definitely globalists, of course, mainstream Republicans like the Bushes are too. Basically, what has happened is that, we'll get into the rest of this. I'll finish up these thoughts after these words from our sponsors. I hear the music starting, Jay.
You got that right. A little more on Columbus Day. Why it's important that we remember a true hero of our people. An explorer, somebody that changed the world. These are our people. Columbus is a hero, and let his day and his name always be remembered fondly in the hearts and minds of Western man. We'll be right back.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together.
I think that my family has always had a big influence on me for not smoking, because since I was little, I was taught that smoking was wrong. And in school, from a very young age, I was taught that smoking was not acceptable.
Recent studies indicate that smoking among teens often leads to the use of alcohol and other drugs.
I think smoking, for everybody, no matter what you say, leads to other things, because it just opens the door wider and wider.
Other studies have found that if you don't smoke in high school, you probably never will.
I think having faith in God is a big part in it, because the way I was raised has helped, and having the faith in God while I was raised and knowing that there would always be somebody there for me has helped to avoid smoking.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
We always try to publish an article or two in the celebration of Christopher Columbus on Columbus Day, which is coming up on Monday. And in recent decades, whiny liberals have done their best to try to demonize Columbus and white people in general. They, of course, as always, cite the early slave trade, forgetting that slavery had existed for thousands of years and that Europeans would eventually outlaw slavery, benefiting every land under European control, and that slavery still exists today, as we always mention, but exclusively in non-white countries. Liberals and their media give virtually no credit to the Spanish for bringing Christianity to the New World. Every place the Spaniards went, they stopped human sacrifices, cannibalism, and other brutal practices by the natives. Apparently, liberals consider this to be a negative. The self-righteous liberals only seem to value things like gay sex and smoking pot. Saving someone's soul apparently doesn't count as the most important accomplishment that could ever be done in their worldview. Let's look back at the history very quickly, and I'll toss it back over to Keith. Columbus left 39 men behind at Fort Christmas, the founding settlement in Hispaniola, present-day Haiti. The Indians there slaughtered all of them, and that would be a precursor to what the Haitians would do to the French many years later. But the Indians slaughtered all of those people. Just about every liberal made-for-TV movie assumes that the 39 Spanish left behind were mistreating the Indians. Now, if you were heavily outnumbered and left behind, would you risk antagonizing the locals? We should not join the liberals and immediately assume that the whites were the guilty party. The only crime that we know of for certain in that earliest encounter with the New World was committed by the Indians against the Spanish, and it was mass murder. The natives saw an opportunity to kill all the Spanish. Wouldn't that be considered genocide? And steal their possessions, and that's exactly what they did. When Columbus returned with a force of 1,200, some of them were Indians that were enslaved by their fellow Indians, and they retaliated for the massacre of the Spaniards. Columbus then also went on to discover Cuba during his 1492 voyage, which became a Spanish colony until 1898. Columbus deserves to be remembered, as we mentioned, and honored for being the greatest explorer of all time and for beginning the European settlement of America that led to the creation of the United States. Important new crops like corn and potatoes, Christianity was introduced to the natives, and human sacrifice was abolished. Present-day Indians enjoy the advantages of a modern society, and many tribes have grown rich off casinos. Columbus deserves to have a holiday in his honor. If some people can complain that there are too many holidays, we can always get rid of Martin Luther King Day, Keith.
Well, Columbus did an awful lot more to increase prosperity in the world than Martin Luther King, let me say that. Furthermore, you're right. It basically, the indigenous population in America, like the indigenous population in a lot of places of the world, like Africa, were basically savages and not so noble savages at that. Their lives were, like Thomas Hobbes described, nasty, brutish, and short. And the Aztecs, for example, in the Americas were the most advanced civilization. Some would argue the Incas, but basically they both shared a lot of the same characteristics. The Aztecs didn't develop as much as the invention of the wheel. They did have pyramids, but they did not have the wheel. They had a religion that believed in human sacrifice. The reason that Cortez and his men were able, with a small group of about 500, to conquer the very large Aztec Empire was that the neighboring tribes hated the Aztecs so much for capturing their young men, sacrificing them, and ripping their still beating hearts out of their bodies in the human sacrifice ritual that they had, that they were more than willing to make league with Cortez and the Spaniards to overcome the Aztecs, who were absolutely hated and were absolute tyrants to their fellow Indians. And see, that's the other thing. We're supposed to be ridden with guilt about the fact that Europeans came over here and conquered the Indians. Well, the Indians were constantly involved in wars of conquest against each other. In our part of the world, James, for example, there was a group of people known of Indians known as the Mound Builders. They were wiped out by the Chickasaws and the Choctaws about 500 years before Europeans came to the New World. Now, basically, if white people are like the swallows that come to Capistrano every spring, we're the harbingers of growth, of springtime, of renewal, of everything good. And basically, the only time, not only America would not be a prosperous place if it were not for white people coming here and starting.
And again, we have to draw the comparison between Western countries, their standards of living, everything else associated with first world living, the people who created these nations, compared to what we still see in Africa and other places. But the most bizarre comparison you can draw is, again, these tribes that still live in the Amazon as if they were the people that Tom forgot, and certainly they have been, but they still live hunting with arrows and
they have a nasty, brutish, and short life. And, for example, Sub-Saharan Africa, it wasn't just America that flourished because of whites. Every place where whites went and there were non-whites, they've seen a bump in the upward in the standard of living. Sub-Saharan Africa, for example. Sub-Saharan Africa has never been prosperous by modern standards except when it was ruled by white people in Rhodesia in South Africa. Rhodesia was known as the breadbasket of Africa under white rule. It's now the basket case of Africa under black rule, when whites were guilt-tripped into turning over the reins of government by the left. Same thing for South Africa. South Africa is going into the pits. They have totally abandoned skyscrapers that have birds roosting into offices that have broken windows and whatnot under black rule. This is very vastly underreported by the news media because they don't want you to draw conclusions based on fact about the pros and cons of white rule versus black rule throughout the world. Also, Sub-Saharan Africa has the most fertile soil, the longest growing season, and the most mineral wealth of any continent in the world. But it never prospered until white people came. And white people weren't able to come in large numbers until late in the 19th century when quinine was discovered as a cure for malaria. Just like American Indians were susceptible to European diseases, white Europeans were susceptible to sub-Saharan African diseases like dengue fever, malaria, sleeping sickness, things like this. And that's also gives the lie to one of the great fables about the slave trade. It would have been a death sentence for white people to embark into the jungle and try to capture slaves. All they did was weigh anchor in a harbor and say, we're here to do business. The Africans among themselves did all the dirty work, all the capturing and all the killing and all the bringing people out to the slave ships. And as your Jamaican journalist
Don't quote him, Keith. Don't do it.
Well, everybody knows what it is. But anyway, at least everybody that listens to this show.
Everybody in the media knows what it is.
But basically, if it had not been for slavery, there would have been no occasion for black people to move to America. We didn't have an NBA or an NFL back then, okay? So, consequently, they've come here, and American blacks have the highest standard of living of any large number of blacks in the world. And as it was pointed out recently in an article that we published, there are no black nations in the world that are prosperous. The nearest are little tiny countries like Bermuda in the Bahamas that basically have their prosperity based on
tourism.
White tourism, and not just tourism, but white tourism. So we are the swallows that come to Capistrano, and black people in America imagine themselves to be impoverished and oppressed, but they're the only poor people in the world that have central air conditioning and heat. They have homes with yards and carports. They have computers, they have cell phones, and they get enough free food from the government that when left to their own devices, they eat themselves into a state of morbid obesity. But one thing they don't do, obviously, is travel much, because if they traveled, they'd see how their supposed poverty stacks up against the real poverty of people in places like Peru and Angola and El Salvador and other places that don't have a large white population.
All right, folks, when we come back, we're going to get into something you'll probably like. I think you like every segment, don't you, ladies and gentlemen? Judging by this feedback that we've been reading, you do, and we love you for it. Thank you so much for letting us be your voice. We'll be back with more right after this.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Listen, do you hear that sound? It started low, but it's getting progressively louder. Into a crescendo, even louder, irresistible, ending in an ear-splitting blast of mass disruption. That's the sound of America's economic and political systems crashing to the ground. But we have a plan. We will be ready to restore political sanity. We will be ready to answer the call of productive America. We will restore America's industrial base and put America back to work. We will shut down political correctness and restore decency and positive media to America. We will save our Constitution, our traditional way of life, our customs, and religion. We will restore sound money and crush the debt-based system of monetary slavery. And we will end America's foreign misadventures. We are the American Freedom Party, and we have a plan. Learn more about us, theamericanfreedomparty.us.
Our country is at a crossroads. Election day is looming, and the choice between the two candidates couldn't be more clear. Do you want a strong leader who will secure our borders and stop the flow of illegal aliens and radical Islamic terrorists? Do you want a proven businessman who will implement smart trade deals that will bring jobs back to our country? Do you want a man's man who will protect our God-given Second Amendment rights from an oppressive federal government? Do you want a sensible White House that will work with traditionalist heads of state who should be our natural allies? Do you want a president who will safeguard the interests of Christians? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then there's only one choice for you, Donald Trump for president. Make no mistake about it, America will not survive a Supreme Court stacked with radical extremists handpicked by Hillary Clinton. Do the right thing. On November 8th, vote Trump.
This ad is paid for by William Johnson, a farmer and a deplorable, through the American National Super PAC, and is not authorized by Donald Trump or his committee.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin MacDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the Political Cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQOnline.com and click on Subscribe Now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQOnline.com. Subscribe now.
welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Spending a little time discussing the importance of Christopher Columbus and Columbus Day this hour. I don't know how many AM shows are going to be doing that this year. Should be all of them. Certainly even the conservative ones flagellate and prostrate themselves in front of the shrine of the apostate Martin Luther King. But I don't know how much attention is going to be paid to Columbus Day, but we're going to do what's right.
Any attention paid will be negative. And see, we're not negative. We understand what people ought to understand. We're not anti-non-white people. We think everybody ought to realize that white people are a blessing to the globe, and God has apparently chosen us to be his acolytes because we're the ones that preserved Christianity over most of the two millenniums since Christ's death.
And everything you said earlier in this hour is completely true about the cause and effects and what our people have been able to do that has benefited all of humanity and the way that we're seen by others who certainly benefit from our presence. But or for the presence of Western man. But let's talk a little bit about Columbus himself and just what he did without regard to the other stuff. Just the man. Can you imagine, just peeling it all back to the bare necessities, the incredible amount of bravery to go on an expedition like that, to go off the map, to go into, at that point,
places, parts unknown.
To parts unknown. He was the first Westerner, the first European man to ever go to these places. Now, up in the north, you had certainly the Vikings had explored, and the Vikings had done a lot of great things. You had the Salutrians, and you had some stuff in Newfoundland and Greenland and Iceland. But what he was able to do,
he planted the flag for European civilization.
That's right. That's right. That lasted. I mean, certainly there were other whites from the far north of Europe that had come and gotten a toehold here, and then they.
And in prehistory, there may have been some whites that came over the land bridge and whatnot, but they were wiped out. Basically, he's the one who brought the white presence to the New World and
to
made
stay.
It stick.
Yeah.
And that's the reason. What it showed about white people was remarkable because, as grandmother used to say, people from the top dresser drawer didn't emigrate to the New World. In Australia, for example, they scrubbed out the bottom of the prisons and sent them to Australia.
And look at Sydney now, Sydney Harbour and the Opera House there, and just what our people have been able to do wherever they've gone.
And people from the lower orders of society were almost exclusively the people that emigrated to the United States. In fact, you were given an option of being put to death or sent to the Americas, oftentimes in England, before Sir Robert Peel reversed the Bloody Code or repealed the Bloody Code. And nonetheless, when given opportunity and a good, not perfect, but good environment in which to live, these so-called people from the lower orders of the white population created a garden spot in the world, the most powerful nation in the world.
And then as we are being displaced, as we were in South Africa, it's gone back to ruins. The jungle has retaken most of South Africa now. They barely.
Look at Detroit. Look at Camden, New Jersey. The same thing will happen again and again. Like an ostrich, the left wants us to stick our head in the sand. Meanwhile, our posterior would be waving about making a tempting target.
But by God, if you speak the truth on these issues, you're going to get raked and you are going to get abused the press. But the truth is the truth, and we speak the truth, and we let the chips
fall. And as the Bible says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And that's what we intend to do here and will continue to do as long as we have breath in our bodies here at the Political Session.
Without retreat, surrender, or apology, too. We don't just speak the truth. We speak it and we stick to it. And you know, really what Columbus did, certainly equally as impressive as the first man in space.
What do we have a colony on the moon now? No, but we do have colonies that developed into the most prosperous and powerful nation in the world, which was a derivative of European civilization.
Well, I'm just, you're 100% right about that. I was just comparing the amount of courage it would take to be the first to do something that was previously never done before. And to get on that ship, to get on a spaceship, and not know what's waiting for you, not a lot of men can do that. But that is the indomitable spirit of Western man. There is something in our people that other people lack for the most part, something in the heart and spirit of Western man that seeks to scale the next
summit. A questing
summit.
Spirit
yes,
that we have. Yeah, for example, the Japanese struggled to keep all foreigners out. Maybe that's not such a bad plan after all. But Europeans were adventurers, questors, and they basically, as a result, blessed the world. You know, if not, the non-white people in the world that are living in a first world environment usually live in white nations. And quite frankly, if they knew what was good for them rather than considering ourselves their mortal enemies like the people at Black Lives Matter do, just listen to some of the YouTube tapes, they would be blessing us and nurturing us like a hothouse flower. But instead, you know, that we are the key to everything that they want. They continue to move into white neighborhoods because they want those benefits. That's just the long and the short of it. You know, they can say all the negative things they want to about white people, but their actions speak louder than their words, James. Where do they want to move? Where do the immigrants from the third world want to go? They don't want to go to Korea or Japan or China or other first world nations or Saudi Arabia. They want to go to Europe and America.
That's
and there's
right.
a reason. We have the most attractive societies and civilization on the planet.
And you can't have those societies without looking at the common denominator. What does Western Europe, even Eastern Europe, what does Australia, Canada,
the United States,
what do all of these things have in common? What is the one thing all of these places have in common? And that's the stock. And when the demographics change, the culture change, and society changes, and it's going to be for the worst.
When white people leave an area, prosperity is usually not far behind.
But this thing with Christopher Columbus, he really embodies that spirit we talked about. Something in our marrow, something in our hearts and minds. We want to scale the highest summit. We want to reach beyond the next horizon. We want to conquer the stars. That is something that really is unique to European mankind. And I'm not saying certain people and other ethnic groups and races don't have that. Obviously they do. But that is something that is normal, or used to be very normal for our people, that adventurous spirit. And so we celebrate that on Columbus Day as well, and Columbus is certainly a personification of that.
And what has happened in Zimbabwe, the former Rhodesia, and South Africa shows that just like things go better with Coke, things work better and run better when white people are in charge.
So on Columbus Day, on Monday, take the time to reflect and to think about
the consequences and the actual, you know, reality that he was the seed. He was the mustard seed that caused all of this to happen. If there is ever a single person besides Jesus Christ that deserves to be honored with a holiday that is widely celebrated, it would be Christopher Columbus.
I agree. Robert E. Lee, but, you know, Robert E. Lee still has a day in some southern states, and so that's a good one, too. But, no, what Christopher Columbus did, obviously, and somebody would have come after him, but the same could be said about anything. If somebody hadn't done it, somebody else would have, but there always has to be the first. And, frankly, for our small contributions, the Political Cesspool was the first radio program to talk about these issues, and certainly now they're ubiquitous, and there's podcasts and all kinds of things all over the place. Everybody with a computer is a radio host now. We've been doing it for 12 years, and we did it first. We've been doing it the longest. And I'm
success
so proud.
Success spawns imitators.
Well, listen, I'm not saying we're better. I mean, some of them have shows equally good to ours, and the production is equally good, and they do great work, and I'm proud of them. And a lot of them have said that we gave them the inspiration to go into it. And there's some people out there.
We're the pioneers.
That may even be more talented, but that's right. So we were there, and we were doing it when other people weren't, and because of that, in part, a lot of people are doing it now.
We were country when country wasn't cool, as I said in the old song.
Well, thankfully, we still get the press still identifies us as the voice And, of course,
of the dispossessed majority.
Universally bad press, but that just comes with it. But one thing we'll never do is apologize for speaking the truth. We have nothing to apologize for. Like Christopher Columbus has nothing to apologize for. Like all of our heroes, most of our heroes have nothing to apologize for. We won't apologize for being right, and we won't apologize for standing up for who we are, the way God made us, and all of the things that our people have done that are worthy of celebration and remembrance. And so you get that here on the Political Cesspool too, ladies and gentlemen. We're here to talk about current events, but you can't separate where we are now and our future with our past. They're all intertwined, and it's all part of who we are.
Amen. Now, let's me make, well, here, we've got, I hear the music rafting in the background.
I timed it perfectly. And so we'll come back with something else. Then we got Eddie the Bombardier Miller waiting in the wings, and he's going to be on with us. And we'll look forward to what he has to say. Eddie's brought in a couple of good stories tonight also. So stay tuned. We'll be back.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello everyone, James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right. Keith, you want to talk about globalization.
Right. Globalism.
When you get finished with that grape, that is.
Right. Well, here, I'm ready. I'm ready to go. I'm chomping at the bit. Let me say this about...
And at the grape.
Globalism is the essence of the controversy and the struggle for the hearts and minds of America represented by this presidential campaign between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton and the Democrats are clearly on the side of globalism. Unfortunately, also on the side of globalism are the mainstream neoconservatives and a lot of mainstream Republicans. Donald Trump is on the side of nationalism, which is the opposite of globalism. He sees his role as president, if he is elected, to be the representative of the citizens of the United States as currently constituted. He does not, like Hillary Clinton, think that he owes more to some refugee from Timbuktu than he does to a outsourced, unemployed, blue-collar worker from Ohio or Tennessee or California. He sees the American people as his primary clients. Globalists look down on the average citizen in the United States of America. This cuckservative that writes for the National Review, I believe, Kevin Williamson, wrote an article early in the Trump campaign basically saying that if American citizens of working class and blue-collar background are having a tough time, it's only because they deserve it. They're inferior. How dare they think they should live better than people in Ecuador or Guatemala? He sounds like the reincarnation of the enemies that the John Birch Society identified back in the late 50s and early 60s when they said that beware the one-worlders who think there's no reason why Americans should live any better than Ecuadorians. These people think there should be no borders, no impediments to the free flow of goods and people, and they pretend again that what they're doing is benevolence. It's actually malevolence, and it's malevolence directed at whites. Like I said earlier in the show, open borders is not open borders. It's not a principle. It's open borders only apply to white nations. We're to have them. Africa, they don't want to have open borders and let the Chinese come in and take over. Of course, they don't want that to happen. And they don't want that to happen in any other non-white part of the world, only to us. So it's time to wake up. This benevolence, malevolence thing is like looking at a silhouette. I'm sure we've all had the experience of having a silhouette presented to us, and we look at it and it doesn't make any sense, because we expect what is outlined in black to be the subject and the white to be the background. But then when somebody points out to you that the white covers the subject and the black is the background, all of a sudden everything comes into focus and you have this aha moment. You understand it. That's the movement, that's the aha moment that James and I had and Eddie and all of us have had at one point or another in our life. Basically, liberalism, the civil rights movement in particular, is sold to the world and the American people in particular as being benevolent. It is pro-black. Well, we have come to the conclusion, no, it wasn't. It was primarily anti-white. Feminism pretends to be pro-woman. It's actually anti-male. Homosexual rights pretends to be pro-homosexual. It's but it's actually primarily anti-heterosexual. Once you understand this template, then you can make sense of what's happening in the world. That's what we've done, and that's why we've reached the conclusions that we have. Donald Trump, if he is smart, will make Hillary Clinton disown the role of being a globalist. She can't do it. Everything that she does is right out of the globalist playbook. And when people understand that to be a loyal globalist, you have to be a traitor to the American people, I think they'll make short work of her in this election. But that message across, and no better place for it to get across, James, than in these debates that are coming up.
Well, he's got two more chances, and I can guarantee you that if he performs well tomorrow night and then at the final debate, that it's going to be more than enough to compensate for the first one, particularly after the performance we had with Pence.
How much time do we have for break?
A few minutes. Eddie's talking to us off mic. So. Can you? What's that, Eddie?
Well, hello, folks. This is Eddie the Bombardier Miller coming in there. I'd like to comment on a few things that my brother Keith said. You know, globalization really is just another form of communism, and it's run by the same people worldwide that have been behind the worldwide communist conspiracy from day one. As we've talked about on the political cesspool here before, communism was not a revolution started by the masses to the bottom that worked its way to the top. No, sir, totally to the contrary. Communism was bought and paid for and financed by Wall Street, by the big Jewish law firms on Wall Street, Kuhn and Loeb, the Rothschilds, the Bilderbergers. They sent money to Russia, for instance, to finance the first revolution, to overthrow the Russian people, put them in gulags and stuff. And see what globalization is, same thing as communism. They don't care about the little people that Keith is talking about. They don't care about, you know, they're not benevolent at all. They want this small minority of people, want all the world's wealth concentrated in the hands of just a small minority, them. You know, and they say, like Keith said, how dare we think that we should be able to live better than the average Guatemalan? That's for people like Keith, me, James, you. We should be able to. We should not be able to live above, you know, the level of a Mexican peasant or Guatemalan. But that's not intended for them. The few globalists, the few small handful of people running the international Zionist elite. They're the ones. The globalism, Zionism, communism, Bolshevism. They're all one in the same.
Hey, Keith, I've been intending to play a clip since the first segment of the first hour. We'll get to it in the third hour. With Eddie interjecting there in this segment, it made me remember a story that you were telling me during one of the breaks. You had an interaction at church that was very much similar to that which Eddie may have had many, many times at his church. We only have a couple of minutes left, so I won't try to work in a new clip with commentary that would take the majority of a segment. So just quickly relay this conversation to the audience.
Well, we had a mortgage burning ceremony and we had a dinner after services at my church on Sunday. And I was at a table with a guy that is a self-professed Christian conservative, and he knows about my background and about this radio show. And he said he wanted to confront me. He said racism is contrary to the fundamental essence of Christianity. So I said,
which is why you read about it so much in the Bible.
Right.
Yeah. One of the commandments is, thou shalt not be racist. And of course, racist means you don't hate yourself.
Yeah. Well, I've said, first of all, is the word racism in the Bible? It's nowhere. It was an invented word in 1935 by a German Marxist who wanted to invent another way to marginalize and vilify supporters of the old order. Now, somebody in World War I, if you mentioned racism to him, he would have no idea whatsoever what you were talking about. Somebody in the Roaring Twenties that you mentioned the word racism, they'd say, huh? It is not in the Bible. Moses did not drop the 11th commandment on the way down the mountain, as the left would have you believe. And furthermore, racism has been redefined so broadly that it is nonsensical. Basically, racism is hatred for other people because of their race. Now, the left knows that very few people meet that definition of racism. So, consequently, we have institutional racism. We have unintentional racism. We have racism by microaggressions. In other words, you can't best a Black Lives Matter person in their arguments without being a racist. If you win the argument, you're a racist. If you lose the argument, you're a racist. This is what racism is. And I said, you need to understand that things like the Civil Rights Movement were not as they were portrayed and are continually portrayed by the entertainment industry in movies like The Help or, Remember the Titans or, let me see, what are some other ones we've had recently? We've had Amistad and all these other things. Basically, the Civil Rights Movement was just the first of a series of radical leftist movements that have been used to basically knock America down a peg and have as their ultimate goal the transformation of America and Europe and Australia from white into non-white nations. And believe me, if that happens, we're in for a bumpy ride.
Well, did you convert this guy, or did his eyes glaze over, or how did that
play? I pointed out a lot of things to him, and quite frankly, I think he was at least partially converted by the end of the hour after that we had spoken, and we had a lot of people listening to us as we were doing this. But see, this is what you have to do. You need to be prepared to deal with people like this. I also told him, do you really think you're a better Christian than your great-grandfather? I said, unless you know something I don't, like your great-grandfather was a horse thief, probably you are not nearly as good a Christian as him. And he believed in race, and he would be what the left would not only call a racist, but a foul.
Yeah,
racist.
Interestingly, though, so would every non-white racial group. They would fit the definition of racism if applied by the same standards as they do to us.
I pointed that out to him, too. I said, basically, having a sense of racial solidarity is inconsistent with being a good Christian, then you need to have a long, long conversation with your brethren in the black church, and particularly the clergy, because they see no inconsistency with being a good Christian on one hand and being a proud black or brown whatever person.
Nor should they. Nor should they. All right, we got to go for this hour. Keith, thank you so much. We got Eddie on deck for the third hour. Bombardier time, ladies and gentlemen. Buckle up. We'll be right back.
But don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.